Ladies and gentlemen, federal employees, if you read online about Social Security, the vast majority of articles out there tell you delay your Social Security to 70 every single time. However, is that still the best strategy? That's what we're going to dive into today. And if you're new here, so good to have you. My name is Dallin Hosma, financial planner who serves federal employees just like you, and I absolutely love it. So let's dive in. Again, like I said, if you read articles online, that's what most articles will tell you is delay, delay, delay. But in practice, many, many people take it right at 62. So why is there this discrepancy between the advice and the actions? And is 70 really, really, even though people aren't doing it, is it really the best time to take it? So let's dive right in. Long story short, we're going to talk about a number of things that will determine or push you in either direction of taking it early or taking it later to see so you can get the most out of the system. Because here's the deal. I talk with so many federal employees, I look at their situation, and in some situations, waiting until 70 makes perfect sense, and they're going to get way more money out of the system than doing it that way. But on the other side, I advise people all the time to take it at 62, because for their situations, they're going to get way more money out of the system doing it that way. So there's a really, it's a balance, okay? And it depends on the situation. And there's a number of factors that will push you in either direction. And let's talk about what those factors are. So the first thing to understand is break even, okay? Break even. What does break even mean? When we're talking about Social Security, as many of you know, if you delay Social Security, your Social Security benefits get bigger. So I'm just going to make these numbers up. But for example, let's say at 62, your benefits would be, let's say, $1,500. Okay? And let's say at 70, your benefits would be, let's say, $3,500. Okay? Again, I'm making these numbers up. This is not exactly what it would be. But just as an example, okay, to give us a start here. As you see, if you start it early, your benefit is much smaller. If you start it later, it's much bigger. But as you might expect, because you start your benefits at 62, you get more years of benefits. You get more payments of smaller benefits. If you start it later, you get fewer payments of bigger benefits. Because let's say we're going to pass away at 85, okay? Let's say it's 85. Well, from 62 is 85 to 85, there's more years to get this $1,500 payment. And of course, from 70 to 85, that's only 15 years of getting this, right? So do you want a smaller benefit for more time, or do you want a bigger benefit for fewer years, right? So when we're talking about break even, we're saying, hey, how much time does it take for the extra we get for waiting to make up for all the money we didn't get in the meantime, right? That's what break even means. How long does it take us to break even for delaying, okay? And normally, there's a lot of variables here, but normally what I've seen looking at these things is we normally break even in our late 70s, roughly, okay, 78, 79, right in there, okay? It is going to vary based on your specific numbers and what ages you're comparing, whether it's 62 versus 70 or 65 versus 70, the break even age is going to vary. It simply will. However, it's often late 70s. So the average person might assume, hey, if I'm going to live to at least 80 years old, which most of us will, right? A lot of us will, then it may make sense to delay because, again, the break even, you're going to get more money out of the system if you make it past that break even age for Social Security. Okay, so again, if your life expectancy is 80 plus, maybe it makes sense, but there's some other factors before we conclude that 70 is the best for everyone, because it simply isn't, okay? But that's the first thing to think about is break even. How much time would it take you to break even, again, for not taking all those benefits in the meantime? How much time would it take you to make up for that by delaying, okay? So next thing to think about is health. If you are a single person, the health factor is actually really, really simple. And that is, if you're getting into your 60s and you got a lot of health issues and your life expectancy is lower than, let's say, 80, right? You say, look, I just got diagnosed with cancer. I've got this thing or that thing. Then maybe it does make sense to take it earlier, to take it right away at 62 or at retirement, whichever is later, right? To take it right then, to just get as much money out of the system. Because you may say, hey, look, I don't know how long I'm going to live. I'm probably not going to live past 80. Let's go ahead and start it and get as much money out of the system now. In that case, you would get more of the system starting it early, right, to get more benefits out of the system. Because let's say if someone passes away at 70 or at 69, before they even start their benefits at 70, they don't get anything. So it's a balancing act. However, if, like I said, if you're single, have health issues, it probably does make sense to take it early. However, if you are married, you're the higher earner between you and your spouse, and you have health issues, that actually may be a reason to delay when you start benefits. And let me tell you why. Social Security has different parts to it. There's the benefit you get based on your own working history, and there's also benefits that a spouse can get based on your working history. And the part that I'm going to talk about right now is survivor benefits for Social Security. Okay, let me give you an example of how this works in practice. Okay, let's say your benefit is $2,000, okay, and your spouse's benefit is $1,000. If you were to pass away, again, this is yours, and this is your spouse's. If you were to pass away, what would happen to your benefits, right? Would your benefit just go away? Would your spouse's benefit go away? What would happen, right? Well, with survivor benefits, what would happen is basically your spouse's benefit would drop off. Okay, and there's nuance to how this actually works, but this is a good example of a simple version. Long story short, your spouse would inherit whatever benefit amount you were getting. They're going to start getting that after you pass away. So if their benefit was smaller, theirs would actually drop off and they'd start getting your benefit amount is how it would work. Okay, so long story short, the reason I brought this up is if you're the higher earner and your spouse is going to inherit your benefit, well then even if you have health issues, then you may want to consider delaying Social Security to make sure your spouse has enough income for the rest of their life as well. Okay, so if you're married, you're not just looking at your situation anymore, you're looking at yours and your spouse, and if your benefit affects your spouse's, then you're going to want to be careful and keep an eye on that as well. Okay. And last but not least, and these are kind of tied together, I just spoke about this, is what about your spouse, right? What about your spouse's benefits? Will yours affect hers or vice or his, right? Will they affect each other? And you want to make sure before you make a huge decision like when to take Social Security, your spouse's needs are taken into account as well. As well as what is your spouse's plan? When are they going to start Social Security? So let me give you a very classical strategy. If you're married, again, you have a spouse, many, many times, a great strategy can be the following, where the lower earning spouse takes benefits at 62, right at 62, okay? So let's do an example. Let's say your spouse takes benefits at 62 and their benefit is $1,000, let's say. And let's say you delay your benefits, let's say to 66, 67, 68, or something like that. Let's say your benefits are $3,000, okay? Just in this example. What this does, it at first allows you guys to start getting money out of the system ASAP because your spouse took it right at 62. So you're getting some out right away, which is great. That's really always helpful early in retirement. Next, if you delay as the higher earner, if you delay your benefits, you then lock in a higher benefit that again, with survivor benefits, will last for both of your lifetimes. If your spouse passes away, their benefit drops off, you keep your bigger one. If you pass away, again, the lower earning spouse's benefit drops off and they keep yours. So that strategy of the lower earning spouse taking it early, the higher earning spouse taking it later can make a ton of sense. Now, if there's a huge age gap or there's differences there, that doesn't always make sense, but just keep that in mind. That can be a great strategy to think about if you're married and you have a spouse, okay? So this is my summary of all of this. 70 has never been the perfect age for anybody to take it. There's pros and cons. It can make sense for people, some people, right? Keep an eye on when's your break-even age? How is your health? How is that going to impact you and your spouse to make sure both of you have the benefits you want for the rest of your life so you can get the most out of the system and just enjoy your retirement. That's what this is all about, okay? I hope that's helpful, though. Have a great rest of your day. I'll see you guys next.